Again, together we're going to look into the Word of God and try to discover truth. And we've been praying that God the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth. And the Bible, of course, is a fabulous book because it not only gives us the whole law of God, all the laws by which mankind are to live, and what's the consequence of our life if we don't live according to the law of God. And also, of course, in that law, God gives how all the information about God himself interrelates into our lives and into the whole affairs of the world as he, because this is his world, this is his plan. This is not something that's out there just as an appendage of some kind that God has created and now just go do your thing, fellas. Go do your thing. No way. God is intimately involved in every aspect of this world's affairs. And, of course, the record is the Bible. And so we've been going into the Bible very, very carefully. And we've been a long time in Jeremiah. And God gives in the Bible a great amount of detail concerning the very end of time. And this is what we've been talking about from study after study in the book of Jeremiah, the very end of the history of the world. And God is preparing the whole world for judgment, the preparation for judgment and the actuality of judgment. And that is, from everything we can read in the Bible, a final period of 23 years that appears to be the period from 1988 to the year 2011, when God has a final great activity going on in the world. Now, on the one hand, it is a time when God is preparing the world for judgment. God has given people up to sin. But then alongside of that, and here is the big thing that also is happening during this period, during these last 17 years of the 23 years, that God poured out his Holy Spirit and is bringing in a vast multitude of people. But now we've come to Jeremiah 31. And this chapter is talking about this great multitude that is coming in. And now we're going on with verse 12 of Jeremiah 31. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more. Now, that's a big sentence. That's a beautiful sentence that is happening today. This is not talking about something that happened back there in the days of Jeremiah. This is talking about what is happening right today. And so we want to really look at this a little bit, as many of these verses are, speaking of today. Now, notice it says, therefore they shall come and sing, and sing. And later on, we're going to get down into verse 13, and we'll find the virgin shall rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy. And singing is the idea of the joy that comes. You know, when you look at Nehemiah chapter 8, and there you find that God they're beginning to understand the law of God in Nehemiah chapter 8. And, you know, the people were listening there to the word of God and beginning to understand. And their first reaction was, as they listened, that they wept. We read in verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, that is the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord, unto Jehovah your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, their God is giving us a principle that as we, who take the Word of God seriously and remember the Word of God is the law of God, as we hear the Word of God, what should be the reaction? Wow, I'm a sinner. I've broken this law and that law, and I read in the Bible that because I've broken the law, I'm subject to damnation. And is there anything happy about that? Is there anything happy about that? And the answer is no. It is as sorrowful as anything could be. The future is as bleak as it could be. And we, as we pray to God for mercy, if we're really serious about wanting to get right with God, we know we can pray to God, but we're weeping and we're supplicating. We looked at that in an earlier study because we realize we have broken the law and we are rightly subject to damnation. But now notice it says in verse 12 of Jeremiah 31, and as well as what we read in Nehemiah chapter 8, don't weep anymore, but be happy. They shall sing, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. Why? Why? Well, because when we know that we are secure in the Lord Jesus, when we know that we're never going to have to face the wrath of God, that is the maximum joyful thing that anybody could have. We've been exonerated. Christ has been our substitute, and now we sing with joy. And we'll develop that a little more when we get to verse 13. Therefore, I'm going back now to Jeremiah 31, verse 12. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. And constantly God talks about the kingdom of God as Zion and as something that is high up. He uses the phrase the mountains or the height because God is up there and God is high above all what the earth is. And shall flow together to the goodness of Jehovah for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and the herd. Now, they shall flow together. And you know, that's an interesting phrase, that they shall flow. And let's go back to Micah chapter 4, verse 1, where God also uses that word flow. And it's in the same setting, altogether the same setting. We read in Micah chapter 4, verse 1, and just in chapter 3, and we're not going to go into chapter 3 of Micah, but God again has been talking about the fact that he has brought judgment upon the local congregations. Like he says in verse 12 of chapter 3, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field and Jerusalem become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. And you know, at every high place they had trees. It was and it's just like it's a forest of trees that are all high places. That is the condition in verse 12 of Micah 3. God is talking about the sad condition that prevails in the churches. But here we get to verse 1 in the Micah chapter 4. In the last days, that is our day, the context shows this, and even the phrase last days is a strong word that emphasizes our day. In the latter days or the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain, that is, and that's a synonym for the word kingdom, the kingdom of the house of Jehovah, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it, shall flow into it. And it's just a beautiful statement. You know, it's here we have the gospel. That is talking about the kingdom of God. That is where people can hear about the kingdom of God. And we can just, in our mind's imagination, we can see this as people all over the world are hearing, are listening, and God is opening their hearts, and they're flowing into the kingdom of God. They're just coming from everywhere into the kingdom of God. That's the picture that God is painting here. It's a beautiful picture of the fact that this is the impact of the gospel in our day, that people are flowing into the kingdom of God. And like verse 2 of Micah chapter 4 says, "And many nations shall come and say, come." And when it says many nations, it means people from many, many nations. The whole nation won't come. And in the nations, there are those who are going to flow into the kingdom of God, and there are those who are going to remain unsaved. But out of all those nations, many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah. That is, let us go into the kingdom of God and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And Zion in Jerusalem is where the true gospel is being proclaimed. It's where we are faithful to the word of God. That's the representation of the kingdom of God. Right here is the kingdom of God. This is the law book of the kingdom of God. And so the word comes from Jerusalem, as it says, and from Zion, that is from God himself, through his word, as we are faithfully declaring it to the world. And so people are flowing into the kingdom of God. This is just absolutely remarkable language. Now, it's even more remarkable when we go back to Jeremiah 31, and we read right at the end of the verse, verse 12, it says, "And they shall not sorrow any more at all. And that's one of the phrases that God uses. He uses many similar phrases to indicate that at this time in history, it's not going to be like it has been through the church age, where people have come in to the churches, which externally represent the kingdom of God, and they became convinced they were believers, and they became very happy together, that we were all children of God. And yet the churches were filled with terrors, with people who were not truly saved, and a great many people in the churches were not saved at all, even though they all thought they were. But now God is talking about a great multitude that flow from all the nations of the world, flow into the kingdom of God, and they will sorrow no more, because everyone is a true believer. But who decides who they are? Does a church elder decide who these are? Does a preacher decide who they are that are to flow into this kingdom of God at this time? The answer is no. There is no one that has in the world who has spiritual authority over anybody, or a spiritual overseer over anybody. There's nobody who can say to someone else, "Look, I know you're a true believer. I know that you have come, and we welcome you into the kingdom of God." We don't have any kind of an organism set up. God is not utilizing that anymore. But here's an individual way off in India or in China or in New York or in San Francisco or wherever it may be. Maybe it's a little tiny village. Maybe it's somebody who's never heard the gospel before, and they're hearing the gospel, and God has arrested them. God is dealing with them, and the next thing they find that they really, really want to serve God. They don't know very much at all about the Bible, but they're learning. they're learning, and they're eagerly trying to learn all that they can learn and what their mind is able to learn. There are people with IQs way down here, way down, who can't learn very much, but what they do know is, I want to do God's will. I want to be obedient. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is the law of God. And so they flow in. And now let's develop that verse a little more. Verse 12 of Jeremiah 31. They shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of Jehovah. And the goodness, only God is good, to the wonderful plan of salvation. Now, the word for would be better translated because wheat and because wine and because oil and because the young of the flock and of the herd and their soul shall be as a watered garment guarded. In other words, the flowing together is developed by these four words. And it's interesting, there are four of them, and any time we see the number four, that means it's the full extent of this. It's for wheat. Now, remember, in the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13, what did the wheat represent? Those who were the true believers, although there's in a sense it's for wheat, it's because Christ is the bread of life, and for wine is what comes from the vineyard, and who is the vine from which the wine comes from? The Lord Jesus Christ, and we are because of the those who become children of God because they are, and there's fruit in their life. They are identified with the vine, and for oil, and oil has to do with the olive tree. And remember, in Romans chapter 11, God typifies the true believers as being grafted into an olive tree, and because of the young of the flock, that is the lambs that are coming in, you see, God is giving us four synonyms here that is talking about the body of believers that are coming in. He's typifying them by wheat, by wine, by oil, and by sheep of the flock and of the herd. And so there's four becauses here, we could also translate concerning these things. Now, just to see how God develops that, go back to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 24. As he's talking about this same time, in verse 24, and the floors, and this would have to be the threshing floor, shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. Again, the same thought. You see that there's a superabundance of people becoming saved who are typified as being those who are identified with the olive tree, with the vine, and wheat. Like God used in the parable of the wheat and tares. And we know we're on the right track because in Jeremiah 31, it also adds, and the young of the flock, the lambs. And the lambs are a product of the sending forth of the gospel. In other words, to recapitulate this or to summarize this, we can say this. That here in verse 12 of Jeremiah 31, God is telling us again about the superabundance of those who will become saved at this time, and who are safe and secure in the arms of Christ. Notice the next, and their soul I'm still reading from verse 12. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And in other words, this is it. God does not have a program where he is evangelizing the world today, and then he has to finally sorrowfully say, oh, there's so many that have become true believers now, and yet amongst them there's so much chaff. There were so much tares, weeds, and I've got to winnow them out, and oh, it's a sorrowful business. No, no, no. Now the kingdom of God that is being built is a pure kingdom, because only God knows who they are that are coming into the kingdom, and no human being stands between God and the one being saved. It is God who applies the word to their hearts. When we witness over family radio, we are not ruling over anybody. We're not ruling over anybody. We are simply a messenger. We're just holding out the message, which is the Bible. Here is the Bible. Read it. We'll help you to get into it. We'll show you verses that you ought to be reading. But listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. And it's between you and God. Between you and God. That's the whole message here. And this is the beautiful statement that we find here, that the nations will flow into this kingdom and the goodness of the Lord. And as we read in Joel, the threshing floor will be full of wheat. It's not a scarce harvest. This is a big harvest. This is an overabundant harvest. And the vats flow with wine and oil. And here it's again, we see here that their soul shall be as a watered garden. In other words, the water is the gospel. These people who have come to know the Lord, they are safe and secure in Christ. The gospel is totally an integral part of their life, and they shall sorrow no more at all. That's the guarantee that God is giving. And so these kind of verses really make us very, very happy as we see that this is what is happening today. Okay, now next time we'll go on in with verse 13.